something that makes the community radio model so important and magical is that mix of music programs and conversation and spoken word programming that you simply will not hear anywhere else. And the spoken word programming, there's the opportunity and the depth and the time and the space to have conversations and viewpoints aired that you just won't hear anywhere else, Michael. You could speak to that.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, you've got... I think that the interesting thing about music is it's kind of like activating your right hemisphere or something like
The
spoken word stuff is on the left hemisphere.
Okay, I like it.
And I think that whole, that combination, it allows you to not only see the affairs in the world from a different perspective, a different point of view that you haven't encountered in mainstream media at all, but you know, adding on the music, you know, that it just gravitates you in a different way, and I think it really... can really get some action happening.
Some action. 204-774-6877.
Fundrive.ckuw.ca.
You're exactly right, Michael. It is that mix of things. It's such a magical thing.
I
feel so honored to be a part of it, to be a member of this club. It means everything to me. And this 2 weeks of Fun Drive, I listen more than I'm here a lot, and I listen more, and just that discovery and that celebration and that gratitude that I have for all the people that come down here and give so much to this place, and for all of the listeners that complete that cycle by showing us how much they appreciate it with their donation at 204-774-6877. We really can only do this together as a community, Michael. It's the only way we can be this radio station and do what we do and be who we are. So I'm going to get out of here and let you start your show. I want to thank you for what you do.
I want to thank you, too, because, especially not only the music and that you've been playing for so long, and you also donate to the donor relations is your what you do for us here at CKW.
It's a great honor. Thank
and so you're keeping us active, and you're keeping us in every way active, and I want to thank you for that and for all the people you've met along the way. You don't know how you've had an impact on people.
Oh, thanks.
And that's really something
it's a great honor to be here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got planned for your show? What are we doing?
Well, I'm going to be focusing a lot on not just some issues that are coming up in the news. I'm hearing a lot about the whole hockey game yesterday and how Canada win. We're not hearing about is how there was a fellow journalist and peace activist named Eve Engler, who's a common feature on our show.
Yeah.
He was put under arrest.
Oh,
basically for expressing his views to someone who's on the other side.
Okay,
it's really complex and difficult, but it really shows how that in more ways than one, you've got to support independent radio. And I mean, one thing you can do is phone
204-774-6877 or pledge securely, painlessly online, quickly at fundrive.ckuw.ca. Again, Michael, those conversations, those perspectives, you're not going to hear them anywhere else. We are at 52,000 and change, and we're pulling out the stops to get to $60,000 today by 6 p.m. We can do this together, people. Michael, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you, my friend, and best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ted.
And thanks to everyone out there.
Yeah, it is now in 1:03, and you're tuned to the Global Research News Hour on CKUW 95.9 FM. And that is, of course, the show which features points of view that you can't hear, that basically are absent from mainstream media. And these are it's basically a collaboration between the Center for Research on Globalization and campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, the Ininu, the Oji-Cree, the Dene, and the Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis Nation homeland. And we are definitely intending to repay everything that we can, but I think we've got to examine, in my conversations today, we're going to be examining how we can perform radio, how those of us who are kind of on the margins of thought are basically being threatened by elite powers. And I have a couple of the of really dynamic speakers who will have that conversation with you. And first of all, I got hold of Chris Cook, who is he's one of the I'll introduce him in a minute, but we have a bit of a conversation as well, and he was happy to help us promote. So call 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca. Make that pledge to More Global Research NewsHour. And now here is my interview with Chris Cook on the Global Research NewsHour. On CKW 95.9 FM. This is Michael Welch, host of the Global Research NewsHour, and I'm about to introduce to the show another radio host who, it turns out, is perhaps the single greatest contributor to Global Research NewsHour besides myself. Chris Cook is a longtime radio host from Victoria, British Columbia. He has been the driving force behind Guerrilla Radio, which has been broadcasting, if you can believe it, since 1999. Guerrilla Radio is dedicated to social justice, the environment, community, and providing a forum for people and issues not covered in the corporate media. So we have quite a lot in common. So naturally, at Chris's invitation, when we are running short on material for Global Research NewsHour, we can borrow occasional excerpts from episodes to fill out material on our show. Guerrilla Radio has been on a campus community radio station for several years now, but has been discontinued on the radio station, although it still runs on CJSF at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver. He certainly understands all about the need to pitch for contributions, so I thought I would invite him here now to be a pitching partner for at least a few minutes. Chris Cook, welcome at long last to the Global Research NewsHour.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. And yeah, you got to donate right now. This is Fund Drive. You know, we only do this once a year, and there's incentives here, different dollar levels, $35, $75, $95, and $125. And even if you're really feeling the love, you can go up to as high as $500, and there's incentive packages for you. And for each one of these levels, and you know what you're doing, you're not only supplying yourself with these great prizes and showing your support of what goes on here, but you're ensuring that there's more than the monotonous point of view, the editorial stringency of the corporate and state media. So I really urge you to pitch in with both hands and preserve something that in the end is for you.
Yeah, well, that's very well said. And I should also point out that, as an alternative to getting the various incentives, you can even get a tax receipt. So, that's your way of, not, giving your money to the government, and stick it to the man, so to speak. But Chris, why don't you tell us briefly a little more about Guerrilla Radio's background? Was that your first show?
Well, it's a long and twisting history, as you say. I started in 99. I started with the CFUV over at the University of Victoria in 98, cutting little news features, little 5-minute news segments. I gathered up 20 volunteers from the student body, brought them in. And in those days, I mean, this is really early internet stuff. We would actually go and get newspapers up at the bookstore above the radio station. And we would go through newspapers, really old school, find, a few really interesting stories and then tape them in the station. Believe it or not, when we were back then, we were still editing with edit bars and razor blades on tape. I mean, this is this is stuff that people now just don't wouldn't even appreciate how much time and effort it went into radio production before computers.
Yeah, I know. I came in a little bit later, but I certainly know that. I found out later that they did the same business with cutting and taping the literal tape together. That was really, really something.
Cut and paste is a real thing.
Yeah. But I mean, I learned a lot there, and that's another thing that these radio stations offer is help giving them training. I never trained in journalism at all. I mean, I just went in there, and over time, I learned how to interview people. I learned a lot about maybe getting all my sources together, and and speaking out loud. I'm kind of an introvert, but I can speak to these issues very well. So that's another aspect, is just helping to train individuals in a certain aspects of it.
I did go to school. I went into Camosun College here in Victoria back in the 80s for media production, for print radio and television. We didn't even have a computer segment to the training in those days. This is, again, when pterodactyls ruled the skies and that. But I wanted to get into filmmaking. And so because there wasn't a film school here, I went into it to learn TV production and end up working out in Toronto doing television production before coming back home and reassessing what I wanted to do. And I remembered that I always loved radio and I was very interested in current events and so forth. And so I went and worked at a commercial station here as the oldest intern in history, and soon found out that the stories I was writing, it was an all-new station, the stories I was writing for them started getting picked apart and bled white, and I realized that they were never going to allow me to say the kind of things and cover the kind of stories that I wanted to do. And I just had the very good fortune to run into somebody up at CFUV who was an old news guy himself and in his retirement was keeping his hand in by volunteering at the station. And he brought me in.
What were some of the more, I guess, controversial topics that you covered, like that would not make it on mainstream media?
When I was with the professional station
on CFUV? Yeah.
Well, CFUV is an interesting place, and I never was told until nearly the end of my tenure there that I was crossing lines. But definitely Israel and COVID were the 1-2 punch that knocked my program off the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mind talking a little bit more about how it happened that after all this time with the radio station, mm-hmm. like this 2 years ago, Israel and COVID, as you say, got you thrown out. There's a certain.
Well, I'd like to give you specifics, but I can't really because of the nature of the whole thing. I was never told myself. You're after 23 years. I covered just about everything and most things more than once. But there was, during the COVID times at the peak of it, there was meetings held between the CRTC and management, program managers of all of the indigenous radio stations and campus community stations. These were closed door meetings, closed Zoom meetings, and they dictated guidelines for broadcasting in these meetings that weren't contained within the regular parameters of the CRTC that you and I and anybody else in the business knows. I tried to discover those and I was stonewalled at every turn. But when I had crossed the line, I was told I had crossed those lines. And when I asked, what are these lines? Then that information wasn't forthcoming. And so it became rather Kafkaesque. So I can't tell you with certainty, Michael, what I particularly said or, how I said it or if it was one of my guests even that said it and I aired it or any combination of all of those things, because I could never get that information myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Global Research News Hour, unfortunately, we were running on several stations, even including yours at CFUV. And then mm-hmm.
suddenly, especially during COVID, a lot of those shows got taken down. And I think a little bit later on when we were getting into, just about 3 years ago, when we started providing alternative perspectives on the Ukraine war or the war in Ukraine, it seemed to get tagged as disinformation. I thought, well, this is strange. I mean, when your own network of radio stations is saying that this is disinformation, when, you know, and not really offering anything in return. So I think that really is a call. I mean, what I've been doing, what you've been doing, have been providing, basically enlarging the picture, as it were, you know, getting more context into the situation. And I think it's really important to be able to preserve that so that we're not, as you're saying, just getting this sort of monotone out there. But is there anything else that you could say about that? I guess the importance of,
You're absolutely right. You can't stress it enough. And the alternative broadcasting and alternative messaging, outside the parameters of broadcasting, but online speech as well, is all under threat. And we're seeing it not only in Canada, but throughout the English-speaking world and the Five Eyes countries and in Europe as well. Eve Engler, who's been on this program many, many times over the years, I can't even remember the first time I talked to Eve, but more than 15 years ago. Now he's facing a charge, and he has to go present himself on the 20th of February to a police station in Montreal because of a complaint against him and it all has to do with his opposition to the war Israel is waging against the civilian population in Palestine. So where COVID was the beginning of this locking down of speech in this country, and the Ukraine war emphasized that fact even further, now this Israel conflict is really putting the final nails in the coffin of free speech, not only in Canada, but if you see what's going on in Britain and the arrests made against online journalists there, like Kit Clarenberg being one, and Richard Medhurst and activists as well. This is a really scary time. And if you're not supporting the people that are bringing you these messages, these unpopular messages, which is the point of media, the role of media is to bring you these inconvenient truths and to provide context for the issues that have a big effect on the public and in the public interest. Those voices once lost will never come back.
Yeah, which really, I thank you for saying that, because it really emphasizes the point. You want to keep Global Research News Hour on the air, broadcasting from CKUW and possibly other stations as well. You've got to keep us feed. You've got to feed us. You got to show that I have an audience. You know, phone 204-774-6877 now, or else go to the internet and go to the site Fundrive, fundrive.ckuw.ca, and make a pledge of $75 for the T-shirt, which is kind of emblematic of what we want, a big radio station, a radio boombox with a lot of people in the front sort of, you know, dancing. It's really going to be a kind of a nice symbol, a badge of honor that you are standing up for those of us who are going to provide a different perspective on things. I got to just about wrap it up, but I'll say that your show is still available on CJSF and in Vancouver, and it's available online at gradio.substack.com.
And at Telegram and Blue Sky and my old standby website, guerrilla-radio.com, and at Blogspot. I mean, this is what you have to do. You've got to keep yourself as variegated as you can, as one after the other of these platforms is attacked and shut down.
Okay. Chris, Chris Cook, it's been great to have you on, and I'll probably be continuing to borrow from you on occasions. But thank you very much for making an appearance on the show. Anything
Well,
else you'd like to add before we close?
yeah, before you forget, that number again is 204-774-6877, fundrive.ckuw.ca. Show us the love, keep us going.
Okay, so that was a nice talk with Chris Cook. And I'm going to be joined soon by another leader in the field of radio journalism. I mean, somebody who I've known for some time. And I frequently also get informed by great shows and interviews he has done on topics that get no real exposure on the airwaves outside of community radio. His name is Phil Taylor. He's the host of the Taylor Report on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. It airs every Monday from 11 till 12 local time. And Phil and his guests inform people with a fresh point of view. The topics are war, peace, resistance, and so on. All the Canadian guests who are active in these areas, not getting attention in the mainstream media, are certainly getting it on the Taylor Report. Phil joins me now to talk a bit about his work and about reasons why supporting community radio shows like the Global Research News Hour or the Taylor Report is so important. Phil, welcome to a live edition of the Global Research News Hour.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I like the your logo, more voices, more choices.
Yeah.
I wish it were true more broadly in society, but we're the guys doing it, as far as I know.
I know. Yeah, I say, I mean, I noticed on your site for the Taylor Report at CIUT, it says that Phil Taylor is a superannuated radio kid who grew up listening to William Mandel and Kenneth Rexroth on KPFA, Berkeley. You're an ex-Marina, an investigator at Roach and Schwartz, several years at the UN Tribunal for Rwanda in Arusha, Tanzania. Fill us in a little bit, if you could, on your interest in community radio from a young age.
You know, so frankly, it's just as the way it is now. It was so refreshing, you know, not to have a bunch of songs and a bunch of clowns and just people reading the news, to hear people who had really been living the life. As I mentioned, Kenneth Rexroth, a really wonderful poet, San Francisco. He was from Chicago, an anarchist. And, of course, the brilliant William Mandel. And, you know, you're driving down the road and you hear, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. particularly Mandel, his show was based on the idea that he would just bring you the news from Russia. He'd say, here's what they're saying. Here's what their point of view is. And, well, I mean, you know, that was like lightning in the darkness. I was addicted to it. I would tune in. I wanted to know what the rest of the world said. I think everybody does, actually.
Yeah.
But we're culturally browbeaten into, you can only listen to this, you can only say that. It's so refreshing to get an intelligent, well-stated argument of the kind that Mandel and Rexroth, those kind of people, provided. So anyway, I said, oh, I want to do that. So yeah. Every time I got a chance, I did it.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you've touched on a number of topics. I mean, Rwanda, obviously. I mean, you were an investigator for defense lawyers involved in the International Criminal Tribunal on Rwanda. And we discussed that, I think, the last time I had you on the show. And I'm thinking there are other issues as well, like the current situation between Russia and Ukraine and I guess the United States, actually. I mean, you've had multiple guests. You spelled out yourself what happened, giving the far more context. Not only is this just about the third anniversary of the special military operation in Ukraine, but it's also the 11th anniversary of what was actually a coup that took place in 2014.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a matter of just reminding folks, well, first of all, you know, when you have any kind of armed conflict break out, as you know, they immediately try to control discussions. Part of making a war is to limit what people can see and hear. and to try to create a narrative. And so it's behooving and behooves people like us to say, no, wait a minute, what do we actually know and what's behind this? So, yes, we focused on our program on the coup. As a matter of fact, we talked about it before it happened, and as it was happening, we remind everybody that Victoria Nuland was passing out donuts in Maidan Square, and Senator McCain was giving speeches in Ukraine. Neither of them belonged there, assuming it was a sovereign government. Yeah. But they were bent on overthrowing it, and of course, people have to remember that when it all went down, as they say, Victoria Nuland was actually recorded on air, and she acknowledged it was her, saying, F the European Union, F everybody. And then she named who she thought should be leading the government, and lo and behold, those are the ones who got the jobs in 2014.
Yats is the man, right?
And that was not, my goodness, that was not taken up at all by mainstream media. Instead, they treated Victoria Nuland as she's some sort of culture hero.
But this talk is attacked as Russian disinformation, and we've had capable people and experts have commented that the media doesn't talk about. Yet today, just last night, I was watching the comments by mainstream anchors on CBC, for example, reacting to Trump's reaction to Zelensky. I mean, saying he's, he's a dictator and so on. I mean, I'm no fan of Trump personally, but a lot of they're insisting that Russia is the dictator and Ukraine is a democracy. Does that not say something about the vital role that you and I have been performing to add to the dialogue?
Yeah, and by the way, frankly, our work is appreciated. It's not as though the public are fools. It's just that they are not given any opportunity to get a kind of an opening to say something. There's a tremendous skepticism amongst the population about foreign adventures and overthrowing governments elsewhere, the killing of Gaddafi, the ugliness of it all, and this watch the U.S. Secretary of State laughing about killing him. People were revolted, actually, when they saw it, but not that you would see that in the mainstream press. But that's why I think we have solid followings for community radio and alternative radio, is that there is a place where they feel comfortable that somebody's going to speak to them frankly and honestly about how dangerous these events are and how they've been misrepresented.
Yeah, and I know that we've got guests who do appreciate this different perspective, and that's why I'm encouraging them now to phone 204-774-6877 or else go online, go to Fundrive, that's FUNDRIVE.CKUW.CA, and make a pledge. It's really critical to get that in within the next 4 hours. I mean, we're doing quite well, but we want to make sure that we get it up there to 60,000, so we still got a ways to go. Phil, I mean, we are an alternative radio station, but we can't just say anything. I mean, you have to make sure that...
And we don't, but I think we're pretty hardworking. I know you are scrupulous about your information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're not just passing out bromides, particularly if we say something challenging, we have to back it up. Mm. And that's a challenge. And I like that. I like being able to say, well, here's the facts, And for example, now I'm following, the way Mexico is handling the confrontation with Trump, which I think is a notch above that of Canada. Mm. But I'm learning now to follow the media of Mexico mm-hmm. and to take, direct quotes. Now, I don't generalize. I say this is exactly what they say. And anyway, I just think it's a great, what we're doing is responsible, and it is a true exhibition of free speech as it's supposed to be observed in practice. Everybody loves to say they're in favor of it. And, Bertrand Russell had a great line. He said, you have, in the Western world, you have free speech until you need it.
Yeah.
And then it goes away.
Yeah.
But let me jump in and say fundrive.ckuw.ca and make a contribution to support this great programming. By the way, we found at CIUT that now the internet is the most efficient for in fundraising drives. A very high percentage of our support comes, when we say CKUW, fundrive.ckuw.ca, the equivalent at CIUT, bang, we get quite a bit.
Yeah.
We've done much better with the addition of the internet.
Yeah. Although, the internet, it's kind of different. It's not like, having you're tuned to a radio station and you could hear anything like, country music, hip hop, all sorts of music that you're not used to, and a whole wide range of shows. So it's a completely different experience. It's not like, deliberately tuning in the show. You can do that, but it's not the same thing as, just having the radio on and what's this guy talking about? Oh, and that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, though, things seem to have kind of tightened up recently. I'm in spite of, all the rules that we're supposed to be upholding about, facts and getting multiple perspectives and so on. Have you ever gotten in any trouble regarding topics you've dared to delve into?
Well, I'm happy to say yes, of course. I've had a lot of heat. The usual kind, the lobbying kind, where people basically go behind your back. They don't actually want to engage with you, but they simply try to call powerful people and say, get rid of that guy, which is old school. Of course, because, as you've interviewed me in the past about Rwanda, that is a highly explosive subject. Because this word genocide is invoked to shut people up about talking about how the events actually occurred. And a lot of people are deeply invested politically and otherwise in maintaining support for a man who's now manifestly one of the nastiest dictators in Africa, Paul Kagame. We began talking about him because he was a Ugandan general who invaded Rwanda, and they turned him into a Rwandan patriot.
Yeah.
And so we just had to keep repeating the facts. By the way, what saved us was the facts. People did say, can we go over what you have been saying or who you interview? And, we were quite proud of it, and it stood up very well. But so, we get pressure of that kind. But there's, the most powerful kind is where people are just kind of upset by news. Like the matter with Ukraine. And there's going to be a period where you have to patiently take a point of view, which is not what our masters would like us to be taking.
Okay.
And I call it cultural pressure, where you feel sort of people fall into apologetics. Oh, I don't like Putin, but I have to. I don't ever bother with that. I just say, here's what I know about this. Yeah. Here's what our research shows.
Yeah, I'm very, very glad that you brought that up. I think even people who are aware that something's not right, it's good to know that there are voices out there. It's because mainstream media, it's kind of a mass of, the whole Russia phobic thing or the Israel
stuff. Yeah, it's like barometric
stuff.
Pressure.
But we are offering an alternative that say, hey, I mean, I'm not alone.
Or but you say, I may be alone, but this is what I have to, because I like all of you, I'm going to share what I feel and think and take your lumps,
Okay. Well, Phil, I got to go now, but it's been a real pleasure having you on. And
great talking to you, Michael Welch, and you've got a great program, obviously. I hope people go to fundraise.ckuw.ca and give the maximum.
Okay.
They get a toque, right?
That's right, at 95.9, as a matter of fact.
I like that.
We went $95.90. You can get a toque. And it's a very warm toque, by the way.
You're not a Canadian if you don't have a toque.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. So, yeah, get that toque or get our lovely T-shirts or get any.
Absolutely.
For a little bit more, $180, you could get our brand new sweatshirt with a hooded sweaty.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, too. Thanks a lot, and good best wishes when your fund drive comes along, your fundraising drive.
Thank you, Mike. We might call you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye bye.
Okay, that was our wonderful friend Phil Taylor. It is now 1:34, and you're tuned to the CKUW. Remember to get us call us in now at 204-774-6877 or. Go to fundrive.ckuw.ca. Make that pledge. Show us that you care. I'm going to have a little bit of music now, and then we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Local music. Local issues. Local voices. It's all here on CKUW every day of the year. Now, during Fund Drive, we need your support. Call 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca to pledge now.
Okay, so there's a number of guests I'd like to thank, people who have pledged. Big thanks to Peace Alliance Winnipeg. They gave $50. Thank you so much, Peace Alliance. We got also a donation from Sarah. She gave us $35. There was also somebody named Mars Bonfire gave $35, and Mary Jane gave us $50. And thanks as well to George Paquet with his $95.9 donation. Thanks, George. Mark Warhaft gave us $35, and Irene Welch gave us $125. Thanks, Mom. And Diane gave us $35. That's great. But that took us up to, because that's already a few hundred. Thank you so much, everyone. And we're really looking at doing our best because. You know, the station is going to be facing some difficult, bit difficult position because due to a fee cap at the federal level, all universities are going to see restrictions on the amount of international students, and that because the only place that other than then the donation drives like this one that we can get resources is from the students, you know, a certain amount for each student. So the less students, the less pay we get. And I mean, it's usually about 80% or so of our services come from students. And with a 15% drop or more, we have to make up for it. So please call 204-774-6877. Don't wait. Don't decide, well, you know, somebody, other people are doing these things. But I think that, the time has come, and we really need to make it all the way up to $60,000. We're past $52,000, and, maybe we could get $53,000. But, I mean, keep in mind that this is, the last spoken word show for Fund Drive. So I hope that you will vote. Give us a call at 204-774-6877. Let us know how you feel. I know you're out there, and you're thinking, well, I don't know. No, this is the time to donate. I know that there's a lot of concern about in a little over a week, we're going to have all of these the tariffs, and people are concerned, well, it's the price of everything's going up. I better hang on to our money. But, you know, the way we do things, we're not like, some of the invaders from the United States, like Walmart, which, you know, goes into a community and out-competes them, and then all the companies stores are forced to close down, and then that leaves them the last man standing, and they head out to the suburbs. We do the opposite of that. I mean, we help people in their communities. We have a number of businesses that they're the small businesses like Organic Planet, like Rag Pickers, like Burton Lysicki Books, and every international, I mean, I'm pretty sure every independent radio station in Winnipeg is a friend of CKUW. So this is how we, and by the way, we also do things. We have training for young students. As a news director here, I trained people on learning about CKUW, and they learned how to do just like I did. You learn by doing, and we gave them a voice, and that could have a really promising impact on people. We even have helped kids, from the age of 10 to 13. We have radio camp, and I believe that's usually in August. We'll see this year, but yeah, we do that every year. So we train a bunch of kids to learn about radio. We learn everything, from planning it out, doing pre-records, writing scripts, all of that stuff. And you never know what's going to come out of that. So if you share that desire to do something for your fellow community members, phone 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca. Well, it is getting close to 1:44. I think that maybe what I'm going to do now is play a bit of a this is a press conference featuring Eve Engler, because as I mentioned, there's been a lot of concern that he was actually forced to leave, or he had to, basically he was attacked, and he was in jail. I mean, while the rest of us were watching this soccer game, he was was not able to. He was put in jail. So I think I got a bit of a clip of that. I'll just take a couple of minutes to dig it up. But I'll play a bit of a fun drive stuff for you, and we'll be right back here on CKW 95.9 FM Global Research News Hour, the Fun Drive edition. Don't go away.
We know you savor surprise on the radio and the spontaneity of our human formatted approach to broadcasting. Pick up the phone and give us a call right now. The pledge line is 204-774-6877 or online at fundrive.ckuw.ca. You are listening to CKUW's Fun Drive. And because of the donations from you this week, we can remain an independent and commercial-free media outlet. Hey, why not make a pledge of $125 on a payment plan? For as little as $10 a month, you can support live, commercial-free radio right here in Winnipeg. Donors can opt for a tax receipt or receive a limited edition Fund Drive incentive gift as our thanks. Don't delay. Call now. Operators are standing by to take your pledge. 204-774-6877.
Okay. Let's see. There. You got it?
Oh. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Okay, so this isn't going to be the press conference, but I got a really good guest with me. Her name is Jasmine Alfaro.
Yes, Alfaro Ramos, as of a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, congratulations. And we're talking about, I was just talking about how CKUW could be such a major source of new knowledge for people. And then you've got a rather incredible background yourself. You know, you came to this country like as a young person,
mm-hmm.
and you basically, I think we first got in contact when you were on the student council.
Yeah.
And then you got into the master's degree, but it was it was a special degree. You got a $6,000 or something like the.
A scholarship.
Yeah. But you're really doing impressive work right now, and I think it's important to know that CKUW was part of your development. You want to just go into a little bit of detail. I mean, what exactly were you doing?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. So basically, I came to U of W in 2008, and the university environment was just incredibly. Open and inviting, and it was great to meet people. And one of the places that really helped me open more of myself and explore more of my interests and really lead them with passion was CKUW. So I'd been involved around community organizing for years, primarily in the Indigenous rights, Indigenous awareness sort of resurgence that we saw. I think probably 2010 or so. So previously, like you mentioned, I was on student council, I was the environmental ethics director, and that was all based on my interest in sustainability and sustainability management and so on. And anyways, exploring really what environmental management looks like requires people and learning from First Nations and Métis folks here on Treaty 1. I had exceptional conversations, and I was able to bring some of these conversations and topics to the radio. So, connected with many folks, amazing folks like yourself, Michael, who really helped me feel secure in this space and tell stories that weren't being told.
Yeah.
So I would say... So I was on People of Interest.
You were a host.
Yeah, I was a host.
And a guest, I think.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, the radio is such a large universe. And because it's audio, it's hard to visualize what it looks like. So you kind of have to think about the nodes and connections in your brain.
Yeah.
And anyways, we really had a chance on our show, People of Interest, to have just incredible conversation and learning from folks who are doing incredible work in the community, both locally and internationally. So yeah, I really honestly, I think especially for FunDrive, I'm so honored that you asked me to be here, because honestly, radio is incredible and amazing in what it does. And the community that I met here and still learn from is, I have to think really hard about like what words, but like, it grows my heart and it makes me feel more grounded. And I'm incredibly grateful for not just the opportunities, but the stories and the learning and the connection that I make both on the radio, listening to the radio, and supporting radio.
Yeah, so you feel the same way too. So call 204-774-6877 and make that pledge. I mean, it's in your the last minute. I know that there's a lot of people who want to resist this force of whether it's the for example the Israel Gaza situation, and Eve Engler, who, as I mentioned, he's a frequent guest of the show, and he ends up in jail. I think he's still in jail, but all he did was complain about, he just answered someone on X, who was saying something about I don't know. I mean, basically, very, you know, Zionist, extremist stuff. And I mean, he didn't just they didn't just turn off the you know, they can block you on X, right, or Twitter, but instead they decided to have this immense lawsuit against him, and charge him. And I think we need to resist this sort of thing, because if it's going to happen to people like Eve Engler, it can happen to anyone. You know, it can happen to me. It could happen to people here at the station. So we've got to support our support the revolution, which will not be televised. If you recall the Gil Scott Heron, yeah, that was the song I played earlier. So 204-774-6877. I hear the phones are calling in, and yeah, I just want to thank David, who called for $75. That it brings us up to $436 for my goal. And by the way, you've done a lot of work in oral histories, I mean, interviewing Indigenous people. Just talk a little bit about that, and maybe if your experience here may have been connected, or how your oral interviews with the Indigenous elders and so on may have been influenced by any of the work you did here.
Yeah, sure. And I'm so grateful for you making that connection, because yes, so I was trained in oral history research methods, which basically means we just have conversations with folks and really deep learn about what is happening, what's going on with different aspects. And I mean, literally, just like in conversation right now, I'm like, oh yeah, there is that connection. We could talk about it because you saw something within our moment right now to talk about something and explore it deeper. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, my process on the radio was I would learn about something that was going on. And I think especially because it is independent media, we were able to get stories that are not told on mainstream media. Like, one of my most exciting interviews was countering a CBC article that was talking about Rooster Town. And it was an article that was published about people who were at Rooster Town blocking Gem Industries from bulldozing the space, which is a former Métis settlement and also a water... I want to say watershed, that's not right. The name is escaping me, but it's a space where only specific endangered species were.
Yes.
So they were there not just for history, but also for the environment now. And anyways, CBC came out with this article saying that people who were there at the encampment were threatening employees of Gem Industries, or contractors of Gem Industries who were bulldozing, that they were threatening them with axes. And that was totally untrue. And it was a story that was just produced from the perspective of Gem Industries.
Yeah.
So I chat with some folks, and they were like, that's not true. We were just chopping wood. And I just happened to catch that in earshot. And I was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Please come on the show. And they shared. And then through that opportunity, not just myself, but everyone who listened to the show had more information, more context, more understanding of what was happening at Rooster Town and what was happening with mainstream media, and them only sharing one specific side. And I'm not saying mainstream media is awful, but it is true that they are funded from corporations that have specific interests, and it's hard to say things that counter the interests of the hand that feeds.
For sure. I mean, I noticed, like, they, with Rooster Town, I mean, there was all these things that had to do with, you know, basically, we're going to go ahead and take it, and we'll worry about the leather stuff later. And so they're finding out, hey, I when did I agree to be moved and so on. So they was really very unjust. And yet, how much did we learn about it in Winnipeg? You know, except maybe for outlets like CKUW. Oh, geez, we've only got a little bit of time left. So I can only hope that you. I mean, we've got. I should say, George just called. George. With a $100 check, so that's $506.36, and I mean, we're well on our way towards our goal of $58,000. So thanks, Jordan, and thanks to everyone else who's donated to the show. It really means a lot. But keep it all coming. 204-774-6877. We just got maybe a minute left or two. I'm getting another one in right now. But yeah, Judith has given me $40. I'm wondering if maybe my talking about what happened to Eve is the thing. I think people are. I mean, anybody who doesn't want to the last spoken word show. I mean, people who've been standing by and say, "Well, I don't know." I mean, the time has come. You know, join us. Let's push our shoulders against this huge wall and knock down the censorship that they're trying to introduce. Call 204-774-6877 right now, or fundrive.ckuw.ca. Is this your first fund drive, by the way, or have you done that
you know
before?
I think so. Yeah. I think so, because I was on, I was a host for, I think it was 7 months. And it was such an incredible time, and it's incredibly difficult, right? Like, it's hard to do work when we live in a capitalist society, and you're doing things voluntarily, and you love it, and you spend all your time on it. So, Michael, honestly, props. You do incredible work, and I'm so grateful for you as a person in the community. And yeah, I mean, I think in kind of feeding off what Michael is just sharing about... yeah, the importance of this work and this space. I mean, I found it very clear through my conversations and dialogue on my show. Even if the story is different, there are so many common threads. And collectively, we really can do more, even just being on the airwave, you know? Yeah. Keep the show on with your auntie in the car, you know, who might be against. It's it takes time, but... yeah, it's incredibly important.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be playing a little bit of music. You know, I went down and went to Cuba, and I got some of the some feedback from that. I did a whole story. Check it out for around Christmas time. That's it. So keep the calls coming, 204-774-6877. And here's the talented youth of Cuba. Colmenita with... Hallelujah. Take care, everybody, and keep supporting ckuw.ca.